Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time we're going to talk about a couple really bad movies we saw recently. Brief reviews. So, yeah, this one doesn't really have a theme other than Ethan and I watched together in 1 week a couple of movies that are lacking in artistic value.
That's a nice way to put it.
I guess you would
I'm
say.
Not going to be so nice.
Yeah.
There are movies that I laughed at the whole time, not for the right reason.
Yes. But I feel like one of them was more enjoyable than the other.
And, oh, for sure. And one of them was just like, I asked you at one point, why are we still watching this?
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
So the movies we're going to be talking about are Truth or Dare.
Yes.
And The Hurricane Heist.
Yes. The Hurricane
Yes. Heist. So a quick background to my history with knowing about these movies was we saw The Hurricane Heist trailer. I don't know what movie we ever seen. We saw it. And I was laughing the whole time.
Yes.
Because it did we're going to play a song, the lyrics over and over again, with a montage of action shots to make it look interesting. And I was like, man, this looks awful. It looks like when in my reaction to, what was it, the weather movie, Geostorm. It was, yes. I had a similar reaction to that.
Yep.
And then Truth or Dare, we saw the trailer and you're like, that looks crappy, but the first like 20 seconds of that trailer wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, all my friends were like, oh my goodness, you want to go see this movie with us? Because it's a PG-13 horror movie. All the teenagers want to go see it. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm not seeing that. One, I'm not the biggest fan of horror. Two, it just looks terrible and I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah.
And so you can get into what you thought because oh man, it's special.
When we saw that trailer with the weird grins and stuff. I mean, it was creepy in some ways. And I'm like you, like, I don't really like horror movies either, but we both really enjoy Chris Tuckman's.
Yeah.
I said it like you said it, right? Chris Stuckman, but we call him Tuckman.
Yeah.
We really enjoy his YouTube channel, and he went directly to a Hilariosity review on this one,
which he almost never does, It's hilarious.
And yeah, so we're like, you know what? Let's watch this movie and enjoy it on that level.
Yeah.
And I mean, the premise, such as it is that there's some kind of demon that haunts the game of Truth or Dare, right? Not just in general, but very specifically. And so once you get into a game with this demon or spiritual force, then you play it until everybody who plays it is dead, unless you can get more players into it. And so you have this fairly decent scene, I feel like, early in the movie where these college kids have gone down to Cabo San Lucas or someplace in Mexico, and another kid takes them to the ruins of this church, and they end up playing Truth or Dare. And when it comes around to him and somebody asks him, you know, what are your intentions with this girl who's the main character, Olivia?
I can't believe you remember the person's name.
I wrote it down. Yeah. I've got a couple notes on
okay.
this. And he says, you know, well, I knew that she would be an easy mark and I could get you guys into the game. So screw you guys, bye, you know, kind of. And then he tells her, look, you play the game, you have to do the dare, you have to tell the truth, you know, or something bad happens, you know. And so he pieces out. And the rest of the movie is just, it's one of those ones where, you know, people keep dying one after the other. And like Chris Tuckman and Flickinger said, like, the people seem pretty cool with their friends dying.
Yeah.
Like there's no emotional impact on them that their friends keep dying. And so it's really strange.
Well, let's talk about the deaths in order, because these are the funniest parts.
Yes.
As many as we can remember, because we watched this movie a week ago, and I can barely remember what happened.
Yeah, so you have the jerky sort of...
Wants to...
He's not really a friend. He's like an acquaintance of the whole group.
Yeah, who like goes to the same school or whatever. And
he's hitting on some girl or something, and so the monster...
takes over her. So let me explain something really quickly. So what happens is... the demon basically inhabits a person that you're talking to or something around you.
Or a whole group of people.
Yes. And it says truth or dare, you have to do whatever. But that doesn't actually happen. It's just basically, it's like a hallucination.
Right.
But once you do it, everything goes back to normal once you accept it, then it goes back to normal. And so you're doing it in front of people, even though they don't think that you actually got truth or dare to do it. They just think you're doing it.
Right. So like if we were doing it, right, I might give you the truth or dare thing and I wouldn't know that I did it.
Yes.
You would see it.
Mm-hmm. And so in that first scene, he's at like a bar, this jerk guy, and
he gets dared to show his Johnson to the whole bar.
Yeah.
And then he ends up chickening out and slipping on a, like he's standing on a pool table or something.
Yeah. Well, the thing I could not stop laughing was when he was sitting on the pool and he was going to walk off and the guy catches him and the demon says, thank you. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So he falls off and, you know, breaks his head against something. And
yeah.
And then everybody is pretty much okay about it the next day.
No, they get sent a video and they're like, oh, he died. And then secondly, they're like, oh, we got to figure out how to fix this, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I don't want to go through all the other deaths. There's yeah. the one where it's the dare where she has to keep drinking alcohol and walking around the
That was roof. Mildly entertaining.
That was at least there was some tension there.
Yeah. Like
she's going to fall and then kind of things keep going. You see that there's a fence with spikes on top yeah. of it.
Well, the nice thing was is they were somewhat intelligent and got that mattress. And yeah. were like, hey, that's not a bad idea. It's not a dumb horror people because they're mm-hmm. dumb in the rest of the movie. Yeah. But then you see the spikes and you're like, okay, now we know what's going to happen. Yeah. And then Olivia has to like crash the car through the fence to try to knock it down.
Yeah.
And so it ends up not killing her. And yeah. so I guess that was somewhat tense. But, somewhat. Like, I didn't really care.
Yeah, but then that character dies shortly thereafter, right?
Yeah, she gets shot, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the big problems here is it's a horror movie trope, right, that the group isn't going to stick together. They're gonna go their separate ways. And with this particular thing, if they have to do the dare, and the dares are dangerous, they have to stick together in order to protect each other during the dares, mm-hmm. right? But these stupid things keep coming up where they fight about something, you know, that where Olivia has to tell Marky, her friend, who was Jesse Quick on Flash,
yeah.
you know, that she was there the night her dad committed suicide, you know. And so, of course, there's emotions and drama, and then they go their separate ways. And and the whole time I'm like, there's no tension here. I know it's going to come down to these two. These two are going to be the ones who are surviving to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the ending of this film where they decide to just screw everybody else on mm-hmm. Earth who's on YouTube, who sees this video, to get them into the game so that their turns essentially won't come back up for years.
Yeah. Well, the thing that kind of bothered me was like, how many followers does she have on her YouTube account?
Right.
Probably 20. Like, well, at the beginning, she's some sort of representative, I guess, because people are contacting her about the school, right? She's on like a FaceTime call or something, or she's recording something.
She was recording something. She was recording a thing about going on a, like a Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
You know, work
and
trip.
So there's probably a decent amount of people that follow it.
Yeah.
But the only way that she's never going to get looped around back to it is if it somehow gets to the whole world.
If it goes viral.
And if it gets spread, yeah. which I guess is somewhat likely because it's a teenage thing.
Yeah.
It probably got spread viral. But it's just like, the morals yeah. at the beginning of the movie change to the end, which mm-hmm. kind of sucks because it's just like,
yeah.
if you're going to say someone follow through with it and have a good character arc, instead you have like a negative character arc, you know, yep. kind of goes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing to understand, if you're going to watch this movie, is it's terrible. In a lot mm-hmm. of ways, it's terrible. The acting is not fantastic. The directing is not great. The special effects on the smiles is very hit and miss.
Hilarious.
There's a couple of the faces that I feel like the face really works for it. Like Mark.
The first guy actually worked.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really inconsistent and it's a bad movie. In every possible way, it's a bad movie, but it's super entertaining to watch. So you can have fun laughing at it.
Yeah. Now, I think the next movie we're going to talk about, it may be worse.
It's much worse. Because it lacks even the entertainment value of being able to laugh at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have the unintentional comedy. Like, it takes itself dead seriously.
Very seriously.
And is terrible. It's really brutal.
I wish we could insert clips of the acting that we both know I'm talking about.
Oh, I will put a clip in there.
You will?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I'll drop it in right here. Like, how many times did they try to get this wooden actress?
Here, I want to look up the lines and try to imitate them and see how close I can get to her when she says it. I'm going to try because I'm going to try to remember one of the things that she says. Basically, there's this – we haven't even talked about the movie's about yet.
Right. Do it.
Oh, goodness. So before I get into this scene I'm referring to, the Hurricane Heist is basically about a group of terrorists, I guess I'm going to call them, are trying to loot and take this large expense of money that's being held in this facility where a hurricane's going to go over. And so they're yeah. taking advantage of this awful weather situation to try to invade and get the money out while they're transferring it all.
Yeah.
And so
it's money that's being retired.
Yes. And so they're trying to get all this money. And so the whole movie takes place where there's a group inside trying to keep the money there, before people coming in, like, rescue the hostages. And then there's an outside plot where this cop lady is with this, like, storm chaser kind of guy. He's a meteorologist. Right. But he has the storm chaser core.
It's Toby Kebbell, who plays Koba in the Apes movies.
Mm-hmm. And so he's driving around in this thing, and he's kind of he's the brother of this character who eventually held hostage, and so there's supposed to be some emotional tension there. But what I said earlier about it's just a heist in a hurricane, that's it.
Yeah.
The CGI in this film, multiple times, is laughable. It looks like an animated movie.
Yeah.
And so basically what happens, the scene that I'm referring to is when they first start taking people hostage, this guy points this gun at this other guy, and his significant other comes up. It's like, no, let's fight this on two fronts. Let's keep our guns. I don't remember what she says.
Here, I'll look up the line.
It is so atrocious. And I remember stopping and being like, no, you need to go back and watch that again. And even my mom, who we watched it with, you know, isn't exactly a film critic like us, was like, what happened there?
Your mom is an intelligent person who can recognize a brutal line reading.
Yes.
The line is... Hang on. Let's work this on two fronts, Connor.
It's
like that. It's that bad.
Yeah.
Let's work on two fronts, Connor. For yours and I will do the hack all over again while you find Miss Corbin.
And that's the take they went with.
There's just multiple scenes. But then let's fast forward to the end, because we don't even talk about what happened in the middle. Basically, they're getting away in these three big semi-trucks, and one gets sucked up, and there's two left. And so what happens is there's this cop lady and the meteorologist and his brother are in one, and they're like, oh my goodness, like we're getting away from the storm, but let's try to save these other two people who were trying to kill us earlier. Mm-hmm. So at the last second, they're trying to save them, and the truck eventually gets sucked up into the hurricane. Yeah. But before that happens, this woman that we described screams at the random scene.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. Anything that comes out of her mouth makes me laugh for the wrong reason. But those are the only entertaining parts, is the bad acting. There's no entertainment value for this film other than...
Yeah. I feel like there's one decent performance in it, and it's like the main bad guy. Like he turns in a decent performance. And then there's a bunch of English actors pretending to be Southern. And even the main bad guy is English, but he's not trying for a Southern accent, where Ben Cross, who plays like the sheriff, has just a world-breakingly bad Southern accent. And Toby Kebbell is pretty bad as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him as an actor, but... And this is Maggie Grace. This connects to our previous episode, right, with Taken.
Oh, yeah.
It's a starring vehicle for Maggie Grace in what should have been a direct-to-video film. Maybe it was direct... Did it? I don't even know if it got a theatrical release. If it did, hang on.
No, but as we're talking about these, our points are kind of tossed all over, and I apologize for how scattered it is, but that's basically what these movies are. They're scattered and not good. They're just hilariously bad, but it's to the point where they're not just hilariously bad. I would never watch these again.
Wow.
What? What?
It had a $35 million budget, because there was quite a bit of special effects. It grossed $6.2 million in the U.S.
Wow!
In the U.S. and Canada, and about $25 million in other territories. So, you know...
It didn't even make its budget back.
It barely made its budget back. But that's, you know, there was marketing for it, right? They had to pay the rights like for Rocky Like a Hurricane, which never played during the movie, which I was very disappointed.
That is very disappointing.
Yeah. Approval rating 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, which seems high to me.
I think it should be below 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. I don't even want to give letter grades to these. I guess what I would say is, I'll reiterate what I said earlier, right? Where the hurricane heist has no artistic value whatsoever, and really very little entertainment value. Because during the movie, you said, why are we still watching this?
Yeah.
And at some point, I was just like, let's do an episode on bad movies.
Yeah.
Because we had just watched one that was bad, but super entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this one.
Well, I think we were both hoping this for to be like a hilariously bad...
Yeah.
We were disappointed to the point where it was just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's different kinds of bad movies, right? There's good bad movies and bad movies. And The Hurricane Heist is a bad movie.
Unfortunately, it is.
Yeah. But it's free to watch if you have Netflix. If you pay for Netflix, it's free to watch. But it's time you'll never get back.
That's so true.
I mean, it's not a super long movie.
But it's enough to, you know, go walk your dog.
Yeah. Any other bad movies we've seen? No.
I think we should end it there. Yeah. I can't really handle this much longer.
This was therapy.
Yeah. For us. Well, like, now I'm angry. You know, and now I'm like, why do these have to exist? Like, I probably cannot make a movie nearly as good as these because I just am not. I probably couldn't just because I wouldn't have the resources or ability or knowledge to. But I just feel bad for watching these movies.
Yeah. You know, we got to have something to compare other movies to. And we can at least, when we go see a movie, we can be like, well, it wasn't Hurricane Heist. And here's the thing here's the thing that bothers me. The title should be Hurricane Heist. Instead, it's The Hurricane Heist. And that really bothers me. Mm-hmm. Like, in the marketing department, Hurricane Heist has a nicely alliterative title, you know, and it's much simpler somehow to me than The Hurricane Heist. Uh-huh. It rolls off the tongue easier. So, it's a systemic failure, this movie, on every level.
Man.
All right, well, I would say thank you for watching these movies with me, but I blame you a little bit for Truth or Dare.
I dare you to watch this movie with me again.
No, not going to happen. Yeah. Although there will probably be a sequel to Truth or Dare. You just watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how funny would it just be like, look around. Truth or Dare.
Yeah. Nope. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for doing the podcast, at least with me.
Yeah, of course. All right. I guess we'll do this again sometime without me wanting to gouge my eyes out.
Yes. All right. So, listeners out there, if you have seen either of these movies and want to sound off about them to us, maybe we missed the boat. Maybe there's some great entertainment value in The Hurricane Heist that we missed. So, if so, tweet at us @BriefNotSoBrief. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.